Good morning. Thank you, Zori. That was a beautiful song. Thank you for blessing us with that. Let me get myself situated here. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you that you are Lord of our lives. And that our focus is to stay with you during these trying times. These are very difficult times right now. But we trust you. We believe you. We hold your word and everything it says. And I ask you, Lord, that you will lead me through the message that you have laid on my heart. And I ask that you will bless those, that your Holy Spirit be here to speak to us and to teach us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. The title to my sermon today is Brace for Impact. Can you see if I can get this thing to work? Oh, here we go. On January 15th, 2009, a potential disaster turned into a heroic display of skill and composure when Captain Chelsea Burnett Sullenberger III safely landed the plane he was piloting on New York City Hudson River after a bird strike caused its engines to fail. David Paterson, governor of New York at the time, dubbed the incident a miracle on the Hudson. About a minute after taking off from New York's LaGuardia Airport on January the 15th, U.S. Airways Flight 1549 collided with one of the aviation industry's most threatening foes, a flock of geese. Crippled by the bird strike, both engines lost power and went quiet, forcing Captain Sullenberger to make an emergency landing. When air traffic controllers instructed the seasoned pilot to head for nearby Teterboro Airport, he calmly informed them that he was unable to reach the runway. We're gonna be in the Hudson, he said simply, and then told the 150 terrified passengers and five crew members on board to brace for impact. 90 seconds later, Sullenberger glided the Airbus 320 over the George Washington Bridge and onto the chilly surface of the Hudson River, where it splashed down midway between Manhattan and New Jersey. As flight attendants ushered passengers into life jackets through emergency exits and onto the waterlogged windows, the bobbing jet, a flotilla of computer ferries, sightseeing boats, and rescue vessels hastened to the scene. One survivor suffered two broken legs, and others were treated for minor injuries or hypothermia, but no fatalities occurred. After walking up and down the aisle twice to ensure a complete evacuation, Sullenberger was the last to leave the sinking plane. Wow. And as you can see here, this is Captain Sullenberger and Captain Jeff Stiles, his co-captain. But this story, after this miraculous event took place on January 15, 2009, Captain Sullenberger, or Sully they called him, became a very well-known household name. The quick thinking and calm reaction of Captain Sullenberger and Captain Jeff Stiles labeled them American heroes. And afterwards, there's Captain Sullenberger. Afterwards, a book was written by Dorothy Furman and Kevin Kirk titled Brace for Impact, Miracle on the Hudson. Survivors share their stories of near death and hope for a new life. All right, the crew and passengers, ever since then, they've reunited to reflect about the tragic day, remembering the crucial moments when they did have to brace for impact. I mean, think about it, the fear that they endured. I mean, they went through their minds. Did they have regrets? You know, sometimes when life's threatening us, we start thinking about these things we regret. Did they think about the things that they wish they had done, or maybe the things that they should not have done? Or are they praying? And what's that saying? There's no atheist in a foxhole? or maybe on a crashing plane as well, you know. But, you know, I cannot even imagine that kind of fear that went through their minds, because that, to me, is my worst fear. Bill will tell you, I don't fly. Everywhere we go by car. That's my phobia. But we all have some type of fear or phobia, don't we? We have something. You know, my daughter, Kaylin, I love to tell this story. She's terrified of bugs. But she's also taught her son, Knox, he's the one we call Bob. Have y'all met Bob? He's 5 years old. She's taught him how to fear bugs, too. So now, Bob's a big boy for his age. He's only five. But his dad is 6'4", and I think Kaylin, what is she, 5'8"? Yeah, 5'8". She's very tall. So he's pretty big for his age. So he's going to be a big man. And so Bill and I always say he's going to be about a 260-pound linebacker, and at the sight of a bee, he'll run off of the field real quickly, you know, screaming like a little girl. That's what's going to happen. So he has that fear of bugs. But we all have fears of some kind or another. I mean, what are some fears that we commonly have? You know, you think of fear of the dark, fear of heights, you know, fear of bad weather, fear of driving in Houston, that's a fear, fear of your mother-in-law, maybe. My brother-in-law says he's still scared of my mom, so she has fears. But we all have these fears and these phobias, different. And think about, there's so many. I made a list here that we have, and good grief, there's so many. In fact, this is not even a complete list. But one of fear of worms, fear of cotton balls or plastic foams. I mean, that's funny. Fear of sleep. I don't understand anyone be afraid of sleep. Buried alive, fear of talking on the phone, fear of death. Of course, that's pretty common, isn't it? Fear of the number 13. I don't know what that is about. Fear of needles, that's me. Fear of driving, fear of the unknown. That's pretty common, too, fear of the unknown. Fear of animals. Let's see. Fear of midgets or little people. I have a 6'4" nephew who's terrified of little people. Don't understand that. Fear of heights, fear of flying, fear of bananas. Good grief. Fear of chickens. I mean, there's a lot of fears. Fear of water, that's pretty common. Fear of thunder and lightning. Fear of failure. Fear of hair. I don't get that. Fear of food. I've overcome that fear very well. But fear of falling, that's my fear. Fear of roller coasters. Fear of clowns. So there's so many. Bugs and insects, horses, sharks in the ocean, bridges. Fear of balloons. Public speaking, that's me. Fear of doctors. Fear of buttons. Anybody heard of that one? Fear of buttons? Fear of fish? Fear of butterflies. Fear of moths. I guess they're related to that person who has fear of butterflies. Bill, there's someone needing to get in. And there's so, you know, there's many, many. Fear of birds, snakes. Fear of belly buttons. Was funny. Fear of fear. That's pretty bad. Fear of fear. Bless her heart. Fear of feet. Fear of beards. There's so, we just don't realize, and that's not the complete list. So there's a lot. There's a lot of fears and phobias, and we just don't even have, you know, a clue of all these phobias that's going on. You know, what I've realized when reading this list, these lists of fears, I've realized, you know, I'm kind of a sick woman, because I think I have a fear on there just about on every page. So I think I need help. But most of us will have a fear. I don't know of anyone that doesn't have a fear, because it's a reality of life of some sort. You know, we have fallen, we are a fallen, broken world. And That's lately it seems to really be feeding our fears, running our fears. Number one fear today is probably COVID-19. That is a definite fear. We have a fear, a direct fear of contracting the virus, or maybe our loved ones contracting the virus, or maybe we have indirect fears with this, fear of maybe losing our businesses because of this, fear of what, you know, it's doing to our mental health with the social distancing, you know. Or should I be sending my child back to school, or I need to send my child back to school? It moves into anxiety, these fears. So I need to pay my house note. You know, there's anxieties that stem even further from these fears. I need to see people. A lot of people don't like isolation. You know, they're very social people. You know, there's fears of maybe our freedoms. We feel like our freedoms are being eroded away in some form or another because of this. Mental illness and depression and suicide is skyrocketing right now because of the social distancing, because of the fears. And we are naturally social people. We walk. We like to hug. We like to shake hands. We're a very fellowshipping church, and we all are naturally that way. God made us that way. But these are troubled times right now, and we feel right now very helpless and that we don't have control of our destinies. So we feel so many other people, feel like so many other people are running our lives right now, and at this time it makes us a little bit irritable. And there are so many people that are speaking out about issues on Facebook about this. There's so many posts that people are saying. But sometimes I think there are some false flags out there that we're receiving, that are grabbing our attention. And that's the thing is, whatever your opinion is about the vaccine, I can tell you that that's not the mark of the beast. But we're hearing that, aren't we? We're hearing that sometimes on Facebook. Whatever it is that has our attention or your attention, please understand that we are in danger of losing our focus as God's people, because there's so much information out there. This is the information world, information highway, and there's so many ideas, and there's so many beliefs, and so many opinions, and it will grab a hold of you, won't it? It truly will grab a hold of you, and Satan wants nothing more than for that to happen, nothing more than that. So let's read with me, if you'll open your Bibles, to Luke 12, 37 and 38. Esther just read that. She did a very good job. Luke 12, chapter 12, verse 37 and 38. Okay? I don't have it on the screen. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Amen. So the Lord wants us to watch, doesn't he? Okay. So what are we watching for? Should we be watching all the signs that everybody out there is watching? Or should we be concentrating purely on the prophetic signs? Okay, Second Peter says we have a more sure word of prophecy. That's quite a statement. And what is he saying? What he's saying is there are signs, there are wonders, there are events, there are wonderful celestial happenings, but we shouldn't make that our basis for where we stand in the stream of time. So we have a more sure word of prophecy. That's our basis. That's it. Everything else that clouds that sure word of prophecy is a haze that the devil wants to put in front of everything so that we are distracted and we don't see where we're going. We would watch for those prophetic signs. And with that in mind, we read in the spirit of prophecy. The third watch calls for threefold earnestness. To become impatient now would be to lose all our earnest, persevering watching heretofore. The long night of gloom is trying, but the morning is deferring in mercy, because if the master should come, so many would be found unready. God's unwillingness to have his people perish have been reason for so long a delay. So the only reason the Lord has not come yet is because he's concerned about his children, isn't he? He's very concerned. He wants that last person who will accept him to have that chance. He's a merciful God, isn't he? Very merciful. So my question is, where is the great majority of God's people today? Is it here in the midst of this church, or is it out there? It's out there. It's out there. So there's two things that must happen. First, they must be called. They must be called. And second, the prophecies must be fulfilled. All right, we're going to read in Acts 27. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 27. This is Paul's journey to Rome. His last journey to Rome. His last journey is a very, very intense one. He traveled from the island of Crete on his way to Rome when they met a catastrophe and they crashed on the island of Malta. Okay? And as they were approaching, they realized that they were going to be shipwrecked. Okay? All right, Acts 27. I have it on the screen, but I like for us to open our Bibles too. All right, Acts 27, verse 13 and 14. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosened thence, and they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Okay, so they were in a storm. And in this storm, is a type of storm that this gospel ship is heading towards today. Okay? 18 and 19. Or let's do 18 right now. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. So we have to lighten the ship. In times that we are living in today, we have no time to deal with non-essentials, non-essential issues. So what some of the essential issues are, non-essentials. So what am I going to wear to church when they start back? It's like, I'm so embarrassed to go back to church with that quarantine 15 weight gain that I put on. You know, those little things like that. You know, we don't need to worry about what shoes someone is wearing or what their clothes, if they match or not. I mean, in fact, I walked out of the house today. Bill can tell you, I walked out of the house today and I was upset because I forgot to change my purse to match my dress. So I'm walking around with a black dress with pink flowers and a blue purse. So I got all upset about something so silly as that. But, you know, we do. We get off, distracted on these things. And something like that, or if your hair is not doing right, or it can mess up a woman's whole day. You just have no idea. So we let these little tiny things make these silly things that have no bearing on the times we're living in, and we let them upset us. So throw these things, it is saying, overboard. Concentrate on the important things, and let's continue on. Okay? In verse 19, let's do verse 19. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. In other words, and get on to 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, in other words, how dark was it? How dark was it? There was neither sun nor stars appeared. It was very dark. Very dark. And and no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we would be saved was then taken away. All right. Verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss." See, he had warned them, let's not do this. Let's not take this trip. The winds are bad. This is a bad time of the year to be traveling. So this was on into October, around getting into November time. So the ship, the winds were really, really bad during that time. 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there should be no loss of any man's life among you but the ship. No one's lives were going to be lost, but the ship was going to be wrecked. Okay. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. You're all going to make it. All the people with you are going to be given to you, and they're going to be okay. Okay? 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. All right. On to 27. But when the 14th night was come, and as we were driven up and down in Edra about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. Okay. Now, in our history, we have something that's called the midnight cry. And the midnight cry was to bring the second angel's message of Revelation 14 to the forefront. And that message is Babylon is fallen. Now, the parallel to the midnight cry is the loud cry. The loud cry of the third angel's message, what actually says, in addition to the second angel, says that Babylon is fallen, and then the details are added of the state of Babylon. So she has become a house of demons and a house of every unclean, detestable bird. So there's a parallel between the midnight and the darkness that we are in now. We are in the midnight of the world's experience right now. All right. 28. And he sounded and found it 20 fathoms. Fathom is a measure of depth of water. 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. So they're getting more and more into more shallow water here. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out the stern and wished for the day. 29 and 30. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, people always want to leave the ship, don't they? Now, we're in this ship together, but there are people who want to constantly leave the ship. And when they had let down the boat into the sea under the collar or the pretense, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. Okay, 31. Now, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, they cannot be saved. And that's an interesting typology there. Unless we are in this ship, holding to the commandments of God and the testimonies of Jesus Christ, there is no other way to be saved. That's it. So don't get off the ship. It's very important. 32. Okay. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Now, skip on down to 33 and 34. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that we have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray to you, take some meat, for this is for your health. So, take something to eat. What substance do we need in this crisis? What do we need? What is that meat, that substance, that food? It's the Word of God, isn't it? His food, the bread of life, that is the meat. We need to go back to the basics, the Word of God. And forget about the peripherals. Forget arguing about political issues, about government, how it should be ran. You know, we've been murmuring and murmuring and murmuring about the government, but what, over 50 years? 50, 60 something years? You know, and let's say over the same issues, and nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. And that's exactly where Satan wants us to be, distracted with the world. All right, verse 34. Wherefore, I pray to you, take some meat, for this is your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. Okay. 35 and 36. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken, hold on a second. When he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all good cheer, and they also took some meat. So we can actually be content while the storms are raging around us. And there's a lot of storms raging around us, because if we concentrate on the basics, we won't be tempted, we won't be so tempest-tossed by what's happening in the world. If we focus on the basics, and what are the basics? We have our marching orders. So we are to preach the three angels' messages. And nothing else should occupy our attention. That's where we need to be right now, because we are in the dark time right now, and we know his time is very, very near. Okay. All right, 37 and 38. So, and we were all in the ship, and 216 souls. That's a lot of people on that ship. I didn't realize just how many. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. All right. In other words, when they themselves were again filled with the basics, filled with the Word of God, they started really consuming. We are to really, really consume the Word of God, just like they did. They were eating and they were consuming, and they got full. They were satisfied. Okay? So we are to do the same thing. Filled with the basics, the essentials, and so the final essence. And then they lighten the ship, and they cast out the wheat. What does that represent? You know? The wheat. Wheat is representative of the bread. The bread is representative of what? The Word of God. So they were to spread the gospel. We are to fill ourselves with the gospel and the Word of God, and we are to throw out the wheat, cast it out, spread the word to the world, throw it out, preach that final message, and warn the people. And we have to get to this point where we have enough substance not to be tossed about by every wind of doctrine, and there are many doctrines out there, but have enough so that we can start casting out the wheat, the pure doctrine, the doctrine that Christ wants us to stay steadfast with. And that is the loud cry of the third angel's message. Okay, verse 40. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward the shore. The nations are roaring. But we're part of this world, aren't we? We're part of it. We're in these scary and tumultuous times, and Satan wants nothing more than to get us away from our marching orders. Okay? To loose the rudder, though, this is interesting. In verse 40, it said, when it said loose the rudder, you think about who is steering them. Who's steering the ship? Okay? When they're at the loose thread, we also want to steer our own ship sometimes. You know, a lot of times we want that control. We want to control our destiny. We want to control how we do things, how we minister. We don't want to be God-led. We want to be led by our own agenda and how we are to do it. And how many times does that backfire in our face? If we are not praying ourselves up, prayed up, filled with the Word of God, and we get out there and we try to spread the message on our own, in the flesh, we do know that that is a catastrophe. And that has happened to me time and time again. All to be filled with just frustration at the end of it. So, we want to control that ship. We have to learn to give up the ship into the hands that know where we are going. We have to. And there's no way, on this earth that we're going to sail around this clash. There's a clash coming. Okay? The confrontation is inevitable, and it's going to come to a head. It's going to come. There's a clash coming. There's a clash between the fundamental beliefs, which means the Bible and the Bible alone, is going to clash with these very demonic doctrines of Babylon. The clash is coming. But loosen the bands. Give the control to God. Even with everything that's been going on lately, give it to God. Give it to God. All right. 41 and 42. Now, let me finish 40. They had loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forewater struck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And 42 says, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners. There will be a death decree. You know that, right? There will be a death decree. But if the master is at the helm, lest any of them should swim out and escape. 43. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they would swim, But the centurion, willing to save Paul, there's one who wants to save the Pauls. And he's not going to permit the death decree, and he's going to save his people. So we don't have to panic. We don't have to panic about these things. And he kept them from their purpose, the soldiers, and he commanded that they which would swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. 44. And the rest, some on board and some on broken pieces of the ship. It's still important. We're still clinging to the ship. You know, in fact, our ship might be a little bedraggled once it hit the road. It might be ragged, broken up, and it might have planks and pieces. This ship might not look too pretty at the end. But cling to the ship. Cling to them. Stay on board. Don't get off. Don't get away from where we need to be. Okay. And all escaped that stayed on the ship. And then they got to shore. What happened? What happened? Let's finish 44. In broken pieces in it. And so it came that they escaped. And all was safe in the land. So they made it to land. They all made it. They all lived through it. Now the ship was in pieces. But the ship got them there. And they all survived. And God got them through there. And an amazing thing happened. Look in Acts chapter 28. We're just going to read about 3 verses into 28. All right. And when they escaped, and when they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and recovered us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And that's when the Holy Spirit will be poured out and when the latter rains will fall. Okay? And then, of course, verse 3, and we know this story, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid from them on fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. We all know this story too, and it did not affect him. Signs and wonders will follow believers, even things that will follow us, and we're going to see the miraculous things that God's going to do. And things that won't touch us, that won't affect us, because when those latter rains are falling, God is moving and there are lives being brought to the truth. So no weapon formed shall stand. So we have a special message. Let's strip off the non-essentials. Let's focus on the essentials, the most important things. Let's focus on what is essential. What's essential? Let's partake of the meat, which is the gospel and the word of God and the special message of the 3 angels for this time. And then let's lighten the load. Let's get rid of these things. Let's get rid of what's not important. You know, the tiny things. You know, sometimes there's just so many things we have to maintain and take care of, and we get our focus in every other direction but where we are supposed to be. So let's lighten the load. Let's throw off the rubbish which is curtailing us. Okay? Let's throw out the wheat and let's warn the people. Let's head for the confrontation, and there will be a confrontation. But it's going to be okay. Let's have the confrontation. Let's brace for impact. But we cannot just sit on the dock. Me and Bill were listening to a song, Sit on the Dock of the Bay by Otis Redding. We can't sit on the dock of the bay anymore and waste time. You know, we have to get busy and brace ourselves. Brace for that impact. What we have to be ready for. Stick to the doctrine, the pure doctrine. And because with Jesus at the helm, we are going to be okay. We're going to be all right. Things are going to be okay. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. We are in this ship. And we are not going to leave this ship. We are going to stay steadfast. We believe you. You said we're going to make it to shore. And this ship might be in pieces, but we will make it. You're going to bring us there. And we're going to preach the gospel. And God, you are going to move in the lives of so many people. You do not want to come back until that last person has had a chance to receive your son. And that's what you're waiting on. You're waiting on us. Us to get busy. To stop the non-essentials. You're waiting for us to get to the meat of the word and to the meat of the gospel. And nothing else. This is our focus, Lord. This is our focus. And help us, Lord, to brace for the impact. We know it's coming. We know it's coming. But we are so grateful that you are at the helm and you are leading us through it. Because that is your promise to us today. Thank you, Lord. We love you so much. But thank you for loving us first. In your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.